Spirit Catholic Radio, KVSS, Catholic Radio for the Christian community. Good morning. Welcome to Spirit Mornings with Bruce McGregor and Chris McGregor. And today it's Monday, so it's time for us to bring on the vaunted Bible geek, Mark Hart. Mark leading conferences, retreats, and missions for teens and adults around the world. Also Vice President of Life Teen International, a Catholic youth ministry. Mark also a published author, Blessed Are the Bored in Spirit, A Young Catholic Search for Meaning, and two volumes of Ask the Bible Geek, Answers to Questions from Catholic Teens. Mark and his lovely wife, Melanie, a.k.a. Mel, have two daughters, and they live in Arizona. Mark, good morning again, and welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks, Bruce. It's good to hear your voice.
Well, it's nice to be heard. May it continue for many more weeks and years.
Well, I'm sure that many of your listeners feel the same.
Yeah, God's will. Well, Mark, I think it's probably time for us to bring on our bombastic music, because we are doing a series of shows on the Ten Commandments. So that is the theme from the aforementioned Ten Commandments movie, old Charlton Heston and company.
Still gets me excited.
Yes, it does. Well, the Ten Commandments should get everyone excited, should they not?
Well, we would hope so, yes.
All right. Well, we have been through two of the Ten Commandments so far, and I'm just going to keep repeating those for folks so that by the time they're done with this, the catechesis will sink in and they'll know all ten, just bam, 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 bam.
Hopefully.
Bam. There's ten bams. Number one, I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. Number two, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Which brings us to the topic of today's program, the third commandment. Remember to keep holy the Lord's day.
That is correct.
Yes, and as we're fond of saying, every day is the Lord's day. It should be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if God is the creator of all and God is timeless, then really on God's calendar, every day is his day. So.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about the precept of this commandment, because I think it's one that potentially brings in a little confusion for folks, but actually we should look at this one really, I think, in terms of renewal. Each Sunday when we go to Mass and attend the liturgy and everything, we are really renewing ourselves, are we not?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, what's important, I think, too, is to take a look back at what people understood to be the Sabbath day versus what our modern understanding is. And I don't mean way back in the Old Testament when the Sabbath was Saturday, and you know, obviously we now, you know, practice our Sabbath on Sunday to, you know, commemorate, you know, the first day of the week when our Lord resurrected from the dead. You know, every Sunday is Easter Sunday. Every Sunday is a miniature Easter. But more to the point that back in antiquity and in the times predating Christ, especially in the time of Moses, we read about it in Exodus 20. You know, we know where the commandments come from, and we heard the music come as well from the Ten Commandments, you know, and Charlton Heston, a.k.a. Moses, comes down the mountain with the tablets. But it's really important, I think, to understand. A lot of times we can look at the commandments, and we kind of, I think, unconsciously or subconsciously, sort of, we take the commandments and we say, well, you know, thou shalt not kill. I absolutely understand that. I agree with that. That's a really important one. Honoring the Sabbath, yeah, it's important, too. It's in the list, but it's not up there with murder. You know, so we sort of quantify and qualify the level of intensity, importance of a commandment. You know, so sometimes maybe honoring the Sabbath or taking the Lord's name in vain aren't seen in the same light as do not kill or do not lie or that kind of thing. But the reality is, in the mind and heart of God, all of these are designed for our welfare. They're all designed to help us grow closer to God, to help us grow in love, to help us grow more like Christ. So we have to understand right off the bat is that we have to be willing to, when we look at any of the commandments, all the commandments, to constantly be willing to take off sort of our perceptions, our notions, take off the glasses through which we usually look. That's the sign of humility, to say, okay, I'm going to take my preconceived notions, I'm going to take everything I think about this, everything I've been taught about this, I'm going to put it on the shelf for a minute, and I'm just going to humble myself. I'm just going to be open, because God might be wanting to call me to something deeper.
Right.
And it's important to do that anytime we embrace the faith, is that action of humility, it really is that tilling of the soil that allows the seed of God, the seed of God's word, to find root in our heart and in our life on a daily basis. The Sabbath in antiquity, in the time of Moses, was not about just going to a liturgy. It was not about gathering one day a week at the temple or gathering one day a week with other believers and worshiping, although that was part of it, that the Sabbath was an entire day-long event. And I think a lot of the times the first mistake we make in modernity is that we say keeping holy the Sabbath means going to Mass every Sunday.
Right.
And if you miss Mass on Sunday, it's a mortal sin. Yes, missing Mass is without, you know, without dispensation, without good reason, is a mortal sin. And yes, we have to confess that before we head back to Mass and receive communion again. However, it is not, keeping holy the Sabbath does not just mean going to Mass on Sunday, and it doesn't just mean going to Mass on Sunday and doing tons of activities with our families. Is that in antiquity the Sabbath meant you rest, and it was meant to mirror the rest that God in Genesis that God took on the seventh day. But God didn't rest on the seventh day because God was tired. God doesn't get tired. God is tireless. The day of rest is intended for you and I in our humanity to completely rest, to enter back into the life of God, to rest in His life, to spend time with Him. Like in the garden, Adam walked with God, and God walked with Adam, and they were in a covenantal love relationship where Adam's whole heart was bent on God, and God was giving all of Himself to Adam. And God wants to have that intimate relationship with each one of us, first personally and then as a family. So what's important to understand is that in God's mind and in God's heart, it's not just about, hey, show up at my house for an hour or show up at my house for an hour or two on a Sunday. Yes, that's important. That's absolutely necessary. It's worship. It's the liturgy. It's the Eucharist. It's the Word. It's the community. It's the priest, everything. But it's more than that. And it's more than just saying, hey, on Sunday we're going to have a family meal and do Mass. The whole day really is supposed to be a day of renewal. It, like you said before, it's supposed to be a day of rest. And I think that the second biggest mistake we make, the first one being thinking that the Sabbath is just about going to Mass, the second one is that our Sabbath quickly becomes a day to catch up.
Right.
It becomes a day that we do yard work, a day we pay bills, a day we do laundry, a day we do a flurry of other activities, helping the kids get ready for something that's coming up at school, catching up on those things we've been meaning to do around the house. A lot of the times, Sunday becomes about football, or Sunday becomes about the mall, Sunday becomes about the grocery, because all these other things. And what ends up happening is that our time as a family, if we do have it, gets less and less and less, or we're so busy doing so many things with the family that, yes, we might involve our family in activities, and that's wonderful, but that how much time are we really spending just in each other's presence, talking, you know, praying, laughing, playing games, you know, going for a long walk, going for a bike ride, doing those kinds of things where the activity can be life-giving and not just a frenetic pace of getting things done around the house. That really is the desire of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what ends up happening is because we are busy. We live in a very busy culture, and we have people, you know, we have homes where both parents are working, and the kids are in school, and there's activities, and parents are more like chauffeurs some days than they are like parents, because we're getting kids back and forth to things. And none of those are bad, and none of those are wrong. And certainly, sometimes we have to do some of those things on Sunday. Some people have to work on Sundays. Some people have to get things done on Sundays. That's understandable. The people that have to work on Sundays, the question then becomes, what day is your Sabbath?
Right.
What day of the week are you taking off and entering in, not only entering into more prayer and entering into more time with your family, but entering into rest? Is how often do we go in on Mondays depleted, cranky, annoyed, bitter, angry, and it sets the tone for our whole day and our whole week? You know, right now it's a Monday morning, and some people really are. They're carrying a heavy burden. They're carrying a fatigue or an annoyance from the weekend. And if we really set our Sabbath, really set our Sundays apart in a different way, in a distinct way, where we rested, and we spent time with those who are closest to us, immediately our marriages are going to deepen, and they're going to be blessed, and they're going to be graced, and they're going to get better. Our family life is going to get better. Our home life is going to become more joyful. Our bodies are going to feel better. Our minds are going to be sharper. Our souls are going to be more joyful. And the person that we are in the office, the person that we are on the house, the person we are at school, is going to be a better and a deeper reflection of the love of God.
Right. And Mark, just want to point out quickly to folks too that the commandments are found in Exodus 22-17 and also in Deuteronomy 5:6-21. And it's always interested me in looking at Exodus, because I think Exodus has the biggest, broadest description of this commandment that's really been distilled down to remember to keep holy the Lord's day. And it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And it's very specific. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your manservant or your maidservant, or your cattle, that's specific, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Absolutely. And you notice what you just read there too was that they held it in such esteem that they bore the burden of doing 2 days' work the day before.
Right.
That literally, when God said to them, "I'm going to send you an extra, basically a double helping, an extra dose of manna on that Friday, you know, the day before the Sabbath," is that God blessed them doubly, but they had to work twice as hard the day before so that they could rest the entire day.
Mm-hmm.
And that really, that's why the scriptures are so important, because when we just know the commandments without reading the scriptures like you just did, it's easy to start hanging our hat on, oh, keeping the Sabbath means this. But when you really unpack what it meant, and that's what Moses in Deuteronomy is further unpacking the law. He's further explaining the law. He's not adding to it. He's further explaining it. And the word Deuteronomy means second law.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean it's second in importance. It means this is sort of the follow-up. Okay, this is sort of all the footnotes for the law that was given in Exodus. And this is before Moses is going to die. And he's handing off the reins of the kingdom to Joshua. And what's really impressive is that God was not afraid to expect us to work twice as hard on any given day so that we might enter into rest. So that calls up another thing that we should keep in mind, and that is, are we slothful at all? Are we lazy in our prayer life? Are we lazy in our work life, our home life? Sometimes we work so hard in the course of the week, we get home and all we want to do is just decompress on the weekends, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what ends up happening is that we decompress over a span of 2 days, which is good, but if we were focused and we said, okay, I'm going to get as much done as I possibly can on Saturday so that I can really enter into rest on Sunday, one full day of rest is going to be better for us than 2 days where we're constantly running around, kind of trying to rest in between and trying to get certain things done. And what's going to end up happening is we're going to have to look at our lives and something's going to have to come off the plate.
Right.
Something has to come off the stove. I always love when people say to me, this is just absolutely not possible. Like if I'm ever doing a mission or doing a talk somewhere, and I'll have people come up, and they're hardworking people, the same as you and I, you know, and they have families, and they have stresses, and there's things like, they're of life, you know, and they say, I love what you're saying, and it makes perfect sense, but that's not me, that's not my reality, you don't understand. And then they'll usually go on for 5 or 10 minutes to explain to me just how difficult their life is, just how full their life is, just how many things they have going on, and certainly they do. But the reality always becomes, God, sometimes, you know, God didn't ask you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
God did not ask you to do all these things. You know, a lot of the times, the reason that we have so many things going on is because we're trying to keep up with the Joneses, you know, next door. And that's why in the commandments are things like do not covet, you know?
Yes.
That we have to be careful and guard against those kinds of earthly things that misdirect our passions and misdirect our attentions. You know, God does not desire that everybody has a mansion. It's not that it's a bad thing, but that's not the most earnest desire of God's heart, is that we have the newest car, the nicest house, the best clothes, and that we have to go, you know, work extra to go do those things. You know, and then some people will say, well, I'm not even working for those. I'm working just to get by. And that's a reality too. You know, but again, I think everybody, if they look at their lives, can find something that they can sacrifice. Something that can come off the plate, that can come off the burner. Maybe the kids are in one less sport or one less activity. Maybe the dad has, you know, one less thing that he does with his friends, or one less thing he does for himself. Same thing with the mom. Maybe she has one less thing she does with her friends or herself. You know, and maybe you, instead of the mom going her way and the dad going his way and taking kids with him and that sort of thing, maybe they sacrifice those activities here and there and do something more as a family. You know, honestly, there's no growth without sacrifice, personal or communal. And if we're going to grow closer to God and we're going to grow more into the image of God, we have to be willing to look at our life and say, what are the sacred cows? What am I willing to sacrifice? And it doesn't mean you have to sacrifice everything that brings you pleasure. If you have a father who's an avid golfer, God's not saying forever give up golf. But what it boils down to is, what is most important? I'm in a men's group in my parish, and there was a powerful story. One of the guys in the men's group, we've been talking more and more and more about what it means to be a true man of God, what it means to be a true husband, and what it means to live your sacrament. And it was so beautiful. About 6 months, this man was coming. You could tell that he was really searching in his soul, and he'd started coming back to Mass. And it was a beautiful example for his wife and for his family. Coming back to Mass, he's trying to love God. We were talking, and I've been helping him. He's starting to read Scripture more. And as these things are happening, maybe he started going to daily Mass a couple times a week. He rearranged his work schedule. Mm-hmm. He started going to adoration. And the men's group is really becoming a great accountability place for him. And he came in, and I'll never forget this, came into the group one day, and he said, he said, I want to apologize to everybody here. And we said, why? And he said, you know, for several months I've been coming and I've been listening to you talking about putting your family first and putting your family first. He says, and at first I was just shaking my head. He says, and I was thinking to myself, if I gave up this or if I gave up that, I'm going to go crazy because golf is all I have. It's the only time I have to relax, to decompress. And I'm thinking to myself, golf does not make me relax or decompress. But he says, you know, he said, yesterday I was on the eighth green. He says, and as I was playing and I put in, you know, my ball, he said, it just came out of the sky like a bolt of lightning. Not literally, thank God, because he's holding a metal club. He says, but God was speaking to me. He said, and you know what? He says, you know what he did, Bruce? He took all the golf clubs in his bag, and he just threw them into the lake.
Wow.
And he said he walked right off the course, and his friends and his coworkers were just stunned. Their jaws just hit the ground. They said, you know, said, Mike, where are you going? And he just said, I am wasting my kids' lives on this golf course. And he just threw the clubs in the lake, and he got in the cart, and he drove right back to the clubhouse, and he just drove home. And he got his whole family together, and he asked their forgiveness. And it wasn't, and there's a beauty in the story, because it wasn't about golf being inherently bad or him having a hobby being bad. What he had done was that as the Lord had shown him how many blessings he had in his life, and he's shown him more distinctly through word and through accountability and through the sacraments what it means to be a husband and a father. What he discerned in himself was that somewhere along the lines, he had grown selfish with his time. And that somewhere along the lines, he had taken what was something that's supposed to, you know, bring life as a hobby and as a time of decompression, and it had become sort of a miniature God, it became his life. That's where he went to escape. And at the time, he was missing out on moments of his wife and his children's lives. And it was powerful. And that really had become his Sabbath. You know, he felt good because, well, he would go to church, and then that's where he went every Sunday. And it was so beautiful, and I'll never forget it, because he shared the story, and every man in the group just rose and gave him an ovation, just affirmed him, you know, because of what a sacrifice that was to him. Now, to some people, that might not be as great a sacrifice, but that was, in my opinion, a beautiful example, a living manifestation of what it means to keep the Sabbath holy, because keeping the Sabbath holy is about honoring relationship. Your relationship with God and your relationship with those whom God brings to you and those that God is calling you to minister to.
Right.
And anything that we can do as men and women, as brothers and sisters, as children of God, anything that we can do, we can discern in our life that we can make a tangible change to become more present to God, to become more restful in God, and become more present and restful for our families and for those that God puts in front of us in the course of the given week. Anything we can do to honor our Sabbath, we are obligated to do, because that is what it means to live in the life of Christ.
Amen. Very well said. You know, Mark, at the beginning when we were talking, I touched on the aspect of renewal. And when we're talking about renewal, not just the Sabbath rest, but really the story you just imparted and everything, I think makes an important underpoint here, really underpins this entire discussion, that you do need to set aside that time for prayer. You know, good recreation when you can find it, all things in moderation, but also that quiet reflection. I mean, we really have to be there. We have to be present. We have to acknowledge God's existence. We have to thank Him for our existence. And if He's blessed us with a wonderful marriage and beautiful children, a deep, deep appreciation in all of the gifts that God in His love has showered on us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And honestly, if any time that we start to doubt our blessings, we need only look. You know, to take 15 minutes, slow down, and just really look around our lives. And usually we'll be so overcome by how blessed we are that within seconds we'll feel guilty for ever doubting it.
Yeah. Been there.
Me too. Yeah. So it's a beautiful ride, you know, and anyone, and I just want to say this as a brother, anyone who may be listening to this right now who might be feeling down on themselves or maybe a little indicted or that kind of thing, that's not the point.
Yeah.
That's never the point. And that's not what God's desiring for any of us, for any person. It's not about saying, oh, I should have. It's constantly being able to look at ourselves without guile and to be able to just say, you know what, Lord, how can I love you better? And that's what this is about. And I'm as guilty of violating the Sabbath commandment as anybody, probably more guilty than most.
Yeah.
You know, so it is, it's one of those things where we're all working together and we're all striving for the same goal, and that is salvation, and that is living more in the image of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you brought to bear a very good point too, I think, Mark, that sometimes we just unconsciously gravitate or move into certain patterns that kind of pull us away from this whole concept of Sabbath. that through the course of the week, sometimes we don't have enough time to get our work done. We certainly want to be able to look at some time that potentially we can have to ourselves and everything else. But it's just one of those things where I think in talking about this, you again bring up a very good point. We're not trying to guilt all the golfers or tennis players or
anyone else.
Yeah, you know, who look to have some of that, as I said, good recreation. The point is to really keep a perspective on where you are, how much of this time you're devoting to other pastimes, and does Sunday or our Sabbath really need to be the day that you devote time to those things?
Absolutely. That's exactly the point. And, you know, and you know, to all the golfers out there, you know, God loves golf. You know what I mean? Go pray the 18 stations. That's not what it's about. You know what
yeah.
I mean? It's more to the point of is you use that because, you know, I have so many. I live in Arizona. There's golfers everywhere.
Oh, well, up here too. And I'll tell you, I'm as guilty as we were going through this conversation. I was like, ooh, yep, done that. Ooh, got to change.
And you know what? When we do feel those ooh moments, praise God for them.
Yes.
You know, praise God for them. Because that all that shows is that the Spirit is moving. You know, the Spirit speaks in sighs that are too deep for words, and the Spirit is moving. And we have those ooh moments. That's sort of like that's sort of like if you run up on a body that is that's unconscious on the ground, and you poke the body and you see they're breathing or they move. It's just a sign of life. You're saying, okay,
yeah.
There is life in him. He's not dead. It's a great thing when we give those ooh moments. You know.
Yeah, you bet. Well, we have a good friend of KVSS here, Father Joe Hannafeld, was the pastor at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton's, and actually he's going off back over to the North American College in Rome. He's going to be a spiritual director for a lot of the seminarians over there.
Oh, wow.
And Father Hannafeld, in addition to going out every Saturday and praying at the abortion mills, two of which have since closed, praise God. We're down to one here in the area here.
All right.
He would come in on, we'd invite him in a couple of years because he really talked about all of the things that we're talking about today. The real need for us to have our perspective on Sunday as our Sabbath day and really giving that day to the Lord. And he was adamant about just not doing things. I mean, you know, just resting, being with your family, a lot of the things that we're talking about. And God love him. I mean, we just don't really hear that from a lot of people. We don't hear a lot of preaching in that regard. But, I mean, this is something that we really, I think this has been a great program because this is something I think probably, what do you think, 90, 95% of us need to take from the back burner to the front burner?
Absolutely. And again, you know what's so funny is that we're all guilty of it. It's human nature. It doesn't make anybody awful or terrible or anything else unless we're aware of it and don't do anything about it.
Yeah.
That's what makes us bad. And there's a reason that God wrote these on stone. Okay, they're supposed to last forever.
Yeah.
This is not a fleeting idea. It's not a passing fad or a concept like that. That this is something that literally that God wrote on stone. That's going to last forever. It's something that people have been working through and dealing with and struggling with for thousands of years, and we will for thousands more because it's our human nature. So when God says to us, "Hey, you know, I did not write these in some remote way, in some distant way. I wrote these for you, to you. Okay, and I want you to pay attention to it." And praise God that he did.
You bet. Well, Mark, thanks so much for sharing your time with us. We deeply appreciate it. Again, we've been here with Mark Hart, the Bible Geek, and we're going through the Ten Commandments on these shows. The third commandment today, remember to keep holy the Lord's Day. Number one, I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. And number two, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And taking a peek ahead to next Monday, I think we're going to have a pretty lively discussion. Number four, honor your father and mother.
Yeah, I have to go ahead and make sure my parents aren't listening to that.
Yeah. Who of us hasn't looked at our kids and gone, "Arr."
Thanks for your time, Bruce.
All right, Mark. Thanks. God bless.
God bless you. Bye-bye.